Hello, my friend. This is Clyde. It is a command, not a suggestion. We hear a lot about love in songs inside and outside of churches. It is very popular in the world of film and theater. It is a staple among gang members. It is spoken of a lot within families. My goodness, there is even a day early in the year that is set up as the Day of Love. They call it Valentine's Day. Merchants exploit it. Preachers hammer it. Singers seem to build careers around it. But regardless of language, love is the most talked about, most celebrated, most desired, and most widely promoted emotions among humans. And how are we doing as modern day 21st century people? Are we making progress in the outside world? And what about inside the church community? Let's check it out. Let me take you to a private conversation with Jesus and 11 of his 12 disciples. Anyone who reads the story might well know what happened to the 12th guy, but from what is written, his 11 friends thought that he had gone to do some business. So one having left the room, Jesus might have pulled closer to the others. I don't know, but let us lean in and hear what he said and notice how he addressed this matter. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13, verses 33 to 35. One of those who were in the room that night was a disciple named John. He was one of Jesus' three closest friends. And some years after Jesus had in fact left earth, John wrote on the same topic of love. Dear friends, let us love one another. For God, love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 9. How are we as Jesus' followers doing? How is love in the modern church? Most Christians are familiar with the two texts I've introduced to our conversation, and we believe that we do well among ourselves. After all, I must confess that I hardly can remember a time when someone walked out of church because they had to go see someone who they have offended and they wanted to make things right before they can continue to participate in the church service. But how do we measure up to the commandment that Jesus released among the disciples? Bear in mind, these 11 disciples, who were later called apostles, were given the task to carry on Jesus' gospel, and central to that is the message of love. Jesus did not mean for it to float within the Christian community as an abstract idea. It is not a suggestion that we can talk about and decide whether to do or not to do. Because in reality, there seems to be moments of contradiction within the local church. Love is a command, not an alternative. I'm speaking about that big thing called church hurt. Many church leaders or regular church members have been victims of church hurt. Church hurt is defined as the emotional or psychological hurt that one or more than one person may feel from within the local church community, caused by any of a list of things such as malice, discrimination, judgment, criticism, harm, abuse by leaders, just to name a few causes. Church hurt occurs when we have compromised our relationship with God. God is love. If the God inside of us is actively operating in our lives, if we are living a life of obedience and devotion to the Holy Spirit, we are less likely to hurt someone. And if we do, it could well be unintentional. God is love. And if God is living inside of you, then love is living inside of you. So one, expect that you are someone who practices the challenging lifestyle of loving others in your church circle, because God, who is love, has become your standard by which you live. Jesus said, Jesus commanded, love one another. It is instructive that Jesus did not give the command with any wiggly room to modify it. A command by nature is very clear and succinctly stated. All traces of ambiguity are eliminated. The commandment is another word for a law, and just as much as we know and understand and practice the law of our community, then likewise this new commandment Jesus released earlier in the conversation is not subject to individual interpretation. You don't get a chance to apply conditions and cultural revisions to the command that God gave. When God issues a command, it is non-negotiable, and in turn, he expects us to do as it says, and in this case, it says, love one another. There is something of great significance about this command that is worth highlighting. Jesus said that when those outside of the church, when the world sees a community of Christians loving one another, the same outsiders will know, and I mean without a doubt, they will know that these Christians are truly sons and daughters of God, not by their eloquent sermons or melodious singing on a Sunday morning, but by their actions, by their attitudes, by their willingness to practice what Jesus said. The church community must bear that in heaven, that when we practice love, we might be surprised to know that non-Christians, the world, they recognize the love, the sincere love that is practiced among ourselves, and they will know that you are a Jesus follower, and that you may well get a chance to share Jesus with someone who needs to hear the gospel. Just imagine, because they see you practicing love. Love one another. It is not a multiple choice. It is not a suggestion. It is not an either-or idea. Rather, it is an imperative. It is a commandment that has withstood the test of times. You, my friend, are called upon to love others. Love the person who hurts you. And when they hurt you, trust the Holy Spirit to lead you into something greater by responding in love. John, in writing his later letters to other church groups, had this to say. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. 1 John 4 and verse 21.